This podcast is proudly supported by Drama Victoria. Consider becoming a Drama Victoria member today to take advantage of the many member benefits. This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Bunurong people. We like to pay our respects to elders past and present. Hello and welcome to The Aside, a podcast for drama teachers and students. I'm Nick Waxman, and today we're honoured to have a very special guest, a towering figure in the Australian art scene. Glenn Shea joins us, an Indigenous playwright, producer, director and actor whose work has not only graced stages across the country, but also deeply influenced our understanding of Indigenous culture and storytelling. We are going to be talking about Three Magpies Perched in a Tree, which is being presented at La Mama, and we are going to focus on VCE Theatre Studies Unit 4. So all the questions we're going to ask today are focused on Theatre Studies Unit 4. And without any further ado, I bring you Glenn Shea. Welcome, Glenn Shea.
Good afternoon, Nick. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us today as we talk about your VCE playlisted show for the Unit 4 playlist. Are you happy to describe the status, motivation, and characteristics of some of the more significant characters in this production?
Very happy to share with you some thoughts in regards to the main character, Peter. So this story has been reshaped into a one-person show. So as I stated, the main character is Peter. He's a working-class Aboriginal man. He has a young family. His motivation is because he's been given responsibility from his community to help and support the young people, young Aboriginal adolescent young people who've come into contact with the justice system. So a part of his characteristics is connected to his own journey of trying to understand his identity, place and belonging. He's a member, stated, with the Stolen Generation. He's quiet, sensitive, big-hearted and hard-working. So, his journey begins from that perspective of hope and belief.
Beautiful. And does he have high status in his community?
Well, he doesn't. At the time, he doesn't have high community. Like, he is a grassroots community member who has been given the responsibility from those who, you know, have high status in community. So if you looked within the world that he was working, he'd have high status amongst the young Aboriginal adolescent young people, but not high status in regards to the system and the, say, the child protection or juvenile justice, et cetera, or the courts. No.
Yeah, that's really interesting. How are the actors using their acting skills, the facial expression, voice, gesture, movement, stillness and silence to interpret this character?
Yeah, interesting question. Is, the actor who plays Peter, his understanding and interpretation of the script begins to identify various physical characteristics, you know, through his movement and voice. Peter interprets different characters, so his voice shifts from heavy to a light tone. His gestures move from, you know, tiny to big at times, and being specific to the story being told as he describes the world of the young people. So it shifts and shapes through the given circumstances of each story. And so therefore that's kind of fun for the actor as he goes on that process as well.
Yeah, I wonder if we can identify some specific moments where the character comes to life, or maybe are there two moments in the script that you could think of, maybe even contrasting moments that highlights the kind of character? You said big-hearted but also shy, but also has to kind of stand up for the community. Are there times where we see a kind of more boisterous part of their personality come out, and other times when they're a lot more quiet? Can you think of an example like that?
There's, I think, when you, the more quiet times are when Peter's in reflection. So when, you know, he's there and he's thinking of his father, and, he's sharing with his father that, you know, I came here from another place, you know, though I not like the back of my hand. So he's sharing with his father these quiet moments of him reflecting about his life that he wants to share with his father and that he hasn't met his father. So he really wants to share what his lived experience is if he ever met him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is that ever contrasted with where we see a bit more of his boisterous personality, or maybe just contrasting with rage or happiness, delight or surprise? Is there other moments where his characteristics come through?
You know, I've seen and felt their anger, and have seen and felt them ever so slightly smile, a real smile. So he is depicting moments of when he has engaged with the young people and what he's observed there. He's also in regards to one thing that doesn't surprise me out there are the predators lurking in the shadows for the vulnerable young lost in their desolate world. So, you know, he's kind of, you know, boisterous and being, you know, inspired by the devilish nature of circumstances that he's come across. You know, a young person who, you know, has seen them holding hands on a bus, so he follows them home, where allegedly through the window he's seen them naked, you know, where community members do not take kindly. So, yeah, just snippets here and there of the boisterousness of Peter and what he's sharing.
Right. Thank you so much for those fabulous quotes and details. How does the actor manipulate their focus to enhance intended meaning? Do they ever use their gaze or their direction or leveled focus at any moment to enhance meaning in the work?
Yes. Yes. In regards to the focus, so you've got the close, intimate focus of when the story is talking about Peter personally. So he's bringing, you know, into the intimacy of his world and where he is at that moment. And then throughout the process, he then broadens it to a middle focus where, you know, he's engaging and telling the stories about the young people, you know, and their stories and the world that they live in. And then he kind of then brings it out and visualizes another world that, you know, sharing with the audience in regards to, you know, there is an old man, you know, long gray beard, hair, you know, standing on the edge of the water, and he sees the warrior ancestors protecting the gateway to the spirit world on the other side of the lake, or he's sees the moon in the distance and he thinks of the achievements of man. Yeah, you know, yet here he is alone again. So, you know, that broad focus where he's hoping the audience will go on the journey and visualize it with him as he's sharing with them the story.
Yeah, two really excellent examples. How do you feel that the actor uses the performance space? What do you count as the performance space when this is being presented? Do they go up into the audience? Are there levels in the set? How are they using the space?
Which is interesting because then, you know, we're kind of bringing in the characteristics of lighting and sound so that, you know, Peter and his spatial awareness of where he moves or where the stories take him in regards to, you know, the lighting and how the lighting then lights up that specific space, and then how the sounds connect to that specific space, so that holistically we're connecting it together from the different spaces on stage where Peter goes, so the different worlds that he takes us into.
Oh, that's really interesting. So there's different parts of the stage represent different worlds.
Yes, different worlds. So on this journey, there's about seven stories that we go into in regards to you know, the different stories of young people from community, because this is stories that the writer has observed, listened to, and kind of restructured as a debrief for himself over time. So we kind of want to provide the audience an opportunity to go into those worlds. Hopefully we make it work for them.
No, I have no doubt it will. What do you count as the performance space in this venue? Is the audience part of the performance space in this interpretation?
Well, there's a kind of a blend of, you know, Peter sharing with the audience the stories, but then also Peter breaking the fourth wall and talking directly to the audience. So there's a blend of both. Peter wishes that he could get a response from the audience, but I don't think that's going to happen in regards to some of the questions that he may pose for them. But he breaks down that fourth wall at some stage, especially when he's in court and he's talking to the magistrate about a scene or an issue that has gone on in community which impacts members of community, and so therefore he's in court and he's relaying to the magistrate, you know, about the issues, and so therefore he uses the audience as the courtroom, really.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there other times where the actor-audience relationship is manipulated, where he kind of endows the audience as the people present? You mentioned that they break the fourth wall and they talk directly to the audience at any point. Is there real interaction or participation?
Well, there's not real physical interaction with the audience, but hoping to get that psychological connection to the audience where they're, you know, working on the same level intellectually.
Yeah, that makes sense, absolutely. You've quoted beautiful passages from the script already, but I wonder if you know how or why language is used intentionally in the script to convey meaning. Like, do you think certain words or phrases or even rhythms have been used intentionally by the director or the playwright to evoke meaning?
You know, the seeds that have been planted with the language which shifts and shapes within each of the stories is really important. Really important that, you know, the actor using their voice is really, you know, has done the work and they're really clear in regards with the, you know, the rhythm within each of the stories, so that which then drives the kind of the energy of the story. So there might be a little bit of rap underneath the story, or a bit of pedestrian prose, or just normal speaking tones, or, you know, the writer has specifically given the stories their own rhythm and language, which I think is really important, because, you know, it then just kind of doesn't sit there from one level.
Yeah, I think that's fabulous. So you think each of those seven worlds probably even have their own rhythms and sounds and tones and feeling and language in order to reflect those seven worlds?
Yes, very much so.
There are two that are really clear, or maybe starkly different, or juxtapose each other. You talked about rap versus kind of everyday speech versus pedestrian prose. Maybe are there two that you think are the most different?
Are the most different? You know, I hear the beat as it beats and it beats and it beats, preying on the minds of the innocents. Hollow sounds, shallow words, turning a world to chaos. I can see the sun rising on the shore. I can feel its power knocking on our door. I can hear its whispers as the dawn begins to rise. I can see its beauty in the light of my clear eyes. So, you know, it's kind of one rap, or where one is kind of a speaking tone, or there's a bit of, song sung underneath it.
Yeah, absolutely. Really clear, different. What a fabulous example. I didn't even expect you to sing it. What a wonderful treat.
I try.
That was gorgeous, and so evidently different too. And you know, the students and the teachers that are watching this piece are going to be really looking at how language has been chosen specifically, and that's such a great example.
Yes.
What do you think, if you could define the theatrical style of this production, what would you say it is? Do you think it borrows from any famous worldwide theatre styles? Do you think it reflects contemporary Indigenous theatrical styles? What do you think?
I think so, and I've thought about this question. Interesting in regards with the you know, when you share the Indigenous styles, because I think that, you know, as an Aboriginal man, that I and how I like to understand the stories I'm trying to write from an you know, from my perspective as a First Nation person, and how holistically everything connects together, so nothing is separated. And I think that's really important, because for me, in regards, it connects to my, you know, as I stated earlier, my identity and my identity and belonging and connection to country and connection to community, and which I think is different to modern Australia theatre, how there is a framework. So there's a framework which is different to the work that I do. So if people saw the latest production of 37 by Nathan Maynard, you know, Isaac Drenich directed it. It was at the MTC. It was definitely formulated into a framework that sits within the process of the MTC, which I think is really important, and that they've taken a step to the next level, whereas I like to kind of, you know, just write for myself and write from that holistic perspective. But within that perspective, that holistic perspective, I think there's verbatim in the story. I think there's poor theatre in the story. I think there's some surrealism, some modern Australia, some Elizabethan. So I think there's, you know, little seeds that are planted in there from the various different ways in which we can tell stories, and which is really important, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Barring using the tools and conventions that you need to tell the story in the way that works.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important, you know, how we as First Nations storytellers understand the framework of Western theatre and how that framework can support us to tell our stories.
Beautiful. You mentioned verbatim. Does that mean there are a few direct quotes from interviews or from real people that spoke real words?
Well, in regards to the court scene, yes.
Oh, fascinating. Brilliant. So we're up to our last question. So thank you so very much for your time today. I'm wondering if we can talk about some terminology that exists in the VCE Theatre Studies curriculum, which is the elements of theatre composition. I wonder if you want to talk about one or two that jump out at you. So the elements are cohesion, motion, rhythm, emphasis, contrast, and variation. I wonder if there's one or two that jump out at you as being really important to this piece, or maybe we could draw the students and teachers' attention to for your work.
The rhythm, I think rhythm is important for me, time and space. And so the spacing within the rhythm and the timing within the rhythm is really important. So how do, you know, how does the character Peter use these, the timing and the rhythms within the sentences to, you know, there's a comma there. So therefore that comma is really important, where the one word he might go, so. Slight pause and then kick off into the line, which then shares it from a different perspective rather than if you ran the line straight through. So I think that's really important there. I think emphasis, you know, the emphasis there, there's some repeated, you know, I love this place. I love the water and the breeze as it whips in from the ocean. I love the sunrise and the colours which light up the morning sky. I love listening to the sounds, to the waves as they hit the shore. So this is repeated throughout, you know, once we kick into the story. So and it's emphasised, and as it's emphasised through each of the stories, it starts to digress, in regards to, which is connected to the health and wellbeing of Peter as he's going on this journey. So at some point he then goes, I love this place. So, yeah, so I think that's...
Yeah, that's yeah. two excellent examples, and it was great to hear about Rhythm, and we have your fabulous examples of those two really different texts of world.
Yes.
Because you jump to these seven different worlds or go on a journey through these seven different worlds, how do you maintain a sense of cohesion in the work that we still feel like, how do we connect everything? Is it through production roles or lighting or sound or costume? Is there anything that is maintained throughout the whole work, or does it change for every world?
Which will be interesting in regards with the changes of each of the worlds. So the creation stories within each of those worlds, I think, ties it all together for us in regards to, Uncle Jack Charles and Jack recording those stories for me, bless him, which connects those stories to the creation world for Peter, so that gives strength to Peter, so that when he's now going into another world, then that other world will be somewhere else. And so the designer, is in the process of shifting the design from what it originally was to being something new, which will be exciting. So it's a surprise when the audience comes.
I can't wait for that surprise. Yes. Are you happy to share with us the costume design? Or what the costume is?
Well, that's interesting because for Peter, he at the moment has one costume. And so whether throughout this process so if he's in a suit, the suit jacket gets taken off, or if he's in a vest, the vest opens up, or, he's either in shoes or bare feet, or that's something that we're going to discover through rehearsals as we go on the journey in regards to Peter not just being in the one costume.
Yeah, really interesting. Well, we cannot wait to see it and have these surprises revealed. Thank you so very much for your time today, Glenn Shea.
You're very welcome, Nick Waxman. I'm really humbled by you providing this opportunity for me, and I hope that the teachers and students who are studying, theatre studies and Unit 4 really either enjoy this experience of Three Magpies Perched in a Tree, or the experience of the choice that they make and go and see the show that they've chosen to study and to research and to present back. So, it's important to go and see shows from different playwrights and those stories, how it connects to us in the society that we live in. So whichever way, I wish them all the best.
Thank you so very much. That means a lot.
That is all for this episode of The Aside. A huge thanks to Glenn Shea for giving us his time. If you would like to find out more about Three Magpies Perched on a Tree, then you can find a link in the episode description. It is playing at La Mama. That may be all for this episode of The Aside, but there is a lot more of The Aside podcast to go around. We have all kinds of episodes of The Aside: VC Theatre Studies, VC Drama, Victorian Curriculum, Theatre Styles Breakdowns. We have Script Tease episodes and Brain Break episodes as well. I'm sure you can find something that piques your interest. If you'd like to ask us a question or you have an idea for a future episode, do not hesitate to contact us at asidepodcast@outlook.com, or you can find us on Facebook. Huge thanks to Glenn Shea for giving us his time, to Hayla Brie for letting us record here, for Drama Victoria for their ongoing support, to Aaron Searle for providing the music, and of course, thank you for listening.